In this episode of Expat Podcast in Netherlands, a conversation with Anastasia Nevet. Anastasia is a Ukrainian data analyst and moved to Germany about 4 years ago. 2 years ago, she received a job offer in the Netherlands and decided to make a move again. She enjoys an active life in Amsterdam, although she misses her friends and family in Ukraine. In this interview, many topics and tips are covered about establishing a life in the Netherlands. Also, Anastasia reflects on differences between Dutch life and living in her home country.
When we are recording this, we are in the middle of a terrible war that's going on in your home country. That must affect you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can imagine. And let's, in general, look at society in Ukraine and society in the Netherlands first. What did you experience when you came to first then Germany, but then the Netherlands, to what compared to what you are used to?
I think in Ukraine, people can't rely on, you know, government. So we are very helpful in, like, you know, society and people. We want to help each other much more. Here I also see it. But also people can expect some help from the government, for example. And I think that has a very high influence on societies in the end.
Yes.
So let's just say here, if you're in trouble, probably you can expect some help from the governmental services or public services. Maybe community services also. I don't know what's the proper name for this. Mm-hmm. But in Ukraine, in most cases, you can't. So we prefer to stay together with our friends, families, with people we love. And I think it gives a lot of energy and strength. I think that's the big difference.
Would you say it's more like a collective society and here it's more individualistic?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Okay, yeah. Because that's also what literature says about differences in society. Then at least the Dutch society is described as being individualistic. So it's the individual who is like in the center and not so much the whole family. But that would be different than in Ukraine.
Yes, it would be different. I think for us, it's very important to share experiences and life with someone, with families, with friends. Mm. So we like to stick together.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now you are apart from actually your family, talking about together. You are brave enough to go out in the world and start a life first in Germany, now in the Netherlands. How are you doing so far? What is exciting you? What is going well according to what you were hoping for?
Of course, I miss my family sometimes and my friends. But overall, I've been having a really positive experience here. I think I also had some hard times, especially when the war started. You know, I felt like, okay, I grew up there. And of course, I wanted to contribute to the place where I grew up. Here, of course, I met new people, new faces, and got a different job. But the part of me is still in Ukraine, and another part is here. Because I already feel here like it's my home.
Okay. Yeah. Does it give like a feeling of living in two worlds at the same time?
Yes, I think yes.
Yeah, I can imagine. This is something you hear a lot from people that, you know, move out from their home country and they actually have a double life then suddenly. Because you're still in touch with people at home, right?
Yes, of course. Not so often, of course, but still. At least I speak to my family very often.
Via like social media?
Yeah, social media, messengers, Okay. Have you ever had such experience?
Yes, of course. I lived abroad myself. And so what I just described also, when, you know, applied to me, living in two worlds, basically, and even followed the news in my home country, which is the Netherlands. I lived abroad. And so you actually have two lives. You follow what's happening in your new country and you follow what's happening in your home country. In your case, it's a very special situation, obviously. But yeah, this double feeling, where do you belong? But I mentioned that I noticed that you said you feel at home already in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And what made you feel at home living here?
I think people around me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I believe people are very helpful, very open-minded. And I feel like society is very inclusive. Like it's open, you know, to accept new members. That's great. I believe everyone can find a place here, no matter who you are.
Okay.
And I think this feeling of being welcomed helped me to feel at home.
Very nice. And because that's what we hear a lot, that it's not always easy to connect with Dutch people. Has that been the same to you?
Overall, yes. I would say I have some locals with whom I can go have some coffee, you know, have a dinner, but it's not about close connection, unfortunately. I would like to have maybe more closer friends, like my close circle. But I understand because it's also in my age, you know.
Because for the listeners, what is your age?
I'm 29.
Okay.
So I think a lot of people already have their own established friend circles. It's not very easy to become a part of this circle. So yes, it might be difficult for some people to find really close friends here.
And have you already thought of a strategy how to get further down the line with this?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
So I believe that some things can happen naturally. But at the same time, I come to different events. So I meet people there. And maybe who knows, one day I can meet someone who will become my really close friend.
Nice, nice. And just to give away one tip that we often see, that when people want to connect with Dutch people, it's a good idea to join for a hobby, for example, like volleyball, for example, or any other activity, that you have to show up regularly, maybe once a week, twice a week, and not so much in the gym, because it can be a bit like on yourself, but something that you can do together, like, as I said, a team sport, or any other activity that you like to do, and then you meet people that have the same activity, the same interest, and they meet you every week. And after a while, they start to get used to you and they start to connect with you. Not maybe the first time, the second time, but this goes slowly. But it's a strategy I've seen working for many people until now.
Oh, wow. So which team sport would you suggest?
Anything that you can do together. At the moment, we have, I'm not sure if it's called in English the same, but in Dutch it's called padel.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sort of new kind of tennis, sort of in between with squash and tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can join like a club and you can play with different people. That's with four people. So in order to get a team, they sometimes need an extra member. So you can become the extra member. And while playing, you know, you don't have to communicate so much, but you start to get used to each other. Afterwards, you drink something at the bar and you make an appointment for the next time. And this is how you sort of get into society by a
that
hobby.
That makes sense. Thank you very much.
Or go running together. There are lots of running groups and that you can join, or doing any sport, like they have nowadays these boot camp activities, outdoors, indoors, that you can just join, or group classes with aerobics or any other, just for your health. They organize all sorts of things. There's a lot of health awareness in the Netherlands. So maybe those are a few suggestions. Are you sportive yourself?
Yes, I would say. I would say yes.
Okay.
At least mostly. Let's just say I'm active.
Okay, good. Yeah.
I was thinking to become a part of a sailing club.
Okay.
I know sailing is very popular here.
Yeah.
And a couple of months ago, I finished the sailing course. So receive the first level, and who knows, maybe it makes sense to, you know, to become a part of a sailing club and then meet people there.
Well, I'm sure it makes sense. And it's a very Dutch thing to do. Good idea. Yeah. And then join actually the whole community there.
Yes.
That's so funny. There's so many different communities in the country, right? People that share an interest, and then you can start to connect. And this is how you build your network of friends.
There are really a lot of communities, also a lot of like clubs, interest clubs, a lot of events. And sometimes I just go to different events to meet new people.
Nice. Sounds like you're very active.
I'm trying to be, yes.
Yeah. Is that what you learned living abroad?
It's just, you know, if you're active, you're very open to new opportunities. And I think that's very crucial if you live abroad, because you live far away from your friends, family, from your comfort zone. And I think being in different places and meeting new people and trying new things will help you a lot to become part of the new place, the new society you live in.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you already discovered this, because it's crucial to build a new life. And it seems to be working, because you say you already feel at home because of the people.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. How about bicycles?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I haven't been successful yet. So I tried a couple of times, but unfortunately I failed.
Oh, and how's that?
I have to learn how to ride a bike.
You just can't yet?
I can't, no.
Oh. You never rode a bicycle before?
No.
Okay.
In my childhood also, no.
Right. That's something you need to learn here.
Yes.
But you said you failed. Is it that you found it scary or just couldn't stay on the bike?
Yeah, a little bit. I find it a little bit scary, especially here, because here it's like, you know, driving in New York.
For the listeners, you live in Amsterdam?
Yes, I live in Amsterdam. And I think learning how to cycle here is the same as learning how to drive in New York or any other big city.
So it's like a jungle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. With a lot of different bikes, with a lot of different people, very active. And also sometimes pretty aggressive, you know, because they're really professionals. They know how to bike, but not me.
You're right. So maybe practice on some quiet areas?
Probably in the parks, but not Vondel Park.
Okay.
Just another one.
No, Vondel Park is busy as well.
Very busy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you been out of the city already?
Yes.
Where have you been?
I've been to different other cities and small villages. Or maybe small towns.
Uh-huh.
And also beaches.
Okay.
Dunes, beaches, very beautiful.
Yeah. And is it true that the weather is always bad here?
Well, I think it's hard to predict weather here. It's not always bad, but it is very unpredictable. It has its own character.
Yeah. And is something you like?
Mostly no. Because if I want to plan something, sometimes it's a little bit hard. Because let's just say I want to go for a walk and then it's out of a sudden rain. What should I do? Of course, I have umbrella, right? My raincoat. But still, it would be nice to have some sun a little bit more.
Yeah. Not sunny enough for you.
Yes. I would like to have a little bit more of sun.
I guess that's a difference with Ukraine, right? The weather.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But we also have cold winters and your winters are pretty mild.
Yeah. Which one you prefer?
I think mild winters more, but I feel very comfortable also if the weather is cold. How is it for you? You've lived almost all of your life right here. So,
well, you have to love wind when you live in the Netherlands, because especially in the West, we have a lot of wind. I love wind because I like water sports,
mm-hmm.
With the sail. So to me, it's a good thing, but I know a lot of people find wind very annoying, which is a bit difficult when you live here. And also, you know, the temperature feels colder when it's windy.
it looks like you
recognize that.
Yes, yes,
yes,
it's true. Sometimes like 0 degrees here, but I feel really cold.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And let's switch back to culture, right? Because it's a major difference, I guess, for you to switch to a Western European country. If you look at, let's say, the features of culture, right? Maybe start with Dutch culture. Is there anything in particular that you think expats can learn from Dutch culture?
Yes, I think you're really good with money. You know how to optimize your finance. And I think that a lot of actually countries and societies can learn from you.
Is it saving or investing?
Investing, saving, overall, you know, spending money in a proper way, in a reasonable way. Like, you know, your society is very successful and the country is not so big, let's be honest. It's pretty even small. But your people are really famous all over the world. You have a lot of sportsmen, a lot of football players. That's actually impressive. Small country and people that are famous to the whole world.
Hmm. But a lot of people in the small country.
20 million, right?
Yeah, a little bit less. But it's already passed, I believe, the 80 million, and it's growing rapidly.
Very fast, yes.
Yeah, and I heard the other day somebody saying that about 20 years ago, they said, oh no, it's full now. And that was a few million people ago. Like almost like an Asian bus that you say, oh, it's full, and then there can still be another 10 people with it. It's like here. Yeah. So it's the awareness of money and investment. Frugality, that's also what the Dutch sometimes are famous for, not spending money, mm-hmm. you know, being very frugal, very picky on spending and saving costs. Is that something you have noticed?
Yes, absolutely.
And what does it look like?
I think you have a lot of different offers in the shops. That's the first thing, which means that people are interested in those offers, right?
Sale.
Exactly. Yeah. So you come to the supermarket or to any other shop and you see two packs for the price of one or four packs for the price of two, right? It's funny for you.
Yes. Reflections of your own culture are always funny, I find.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe it's something that they are not noticing anymore, right?
True.
Because you're part of this culture.
True.
But for me, we also have a lot of offers in Ukraine. But here, I think it's just a different level. It's absolutely different.
So it's the saving cards and the discounts.
Discounts also. Yeah. Saving cards, yes, as you said.
And you can collect all kinds of loyalty memberships and things. Yeah, yeah. What you mean.
Then you go to the bank, you want to open a bank account. And they also give you a lot of offers already. They say, okay, if you open the card, like open the account with us, then you have 15% for something. Then you have 20% if you go there. Then you can cash back something or... Yeah. That's also part of culture.
I guess you're right. And that has to do with this awareness of money. Mm-hmm. The Dutch like to save money. You know, there's funny stories about Dutch people that they don't want to spend anything when they are abroad. And being Dutch, you come across the world. I've traveled quite a lot. And there's a sort of saying that I always hear as being Dutch, that they say, oh, kijken, kijken, niet kopen. Have you heard that before?
Yes.
Yeah. So for the listeners, it means like, oh, you only want to buy, like to watch something, to look at something, and you don't buy. That's what we seem to be famous for all over the world.
I think it's like window shopping,
yes,
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And saving money, not mm-hmm. spending. It's not particularly nice to hear that, but it's confronting because it confronts you with your own culture in not so positive way. But I guess it's true. There's some kind of reality in there.
Why do you think that it's not in a positive way?
Well, frugality can sometimes also be a bit negative, I'd say. And I think that goes for some Dutch people. Mm-hmm. There is a famous designer. He passed away, fortunately, a few years ago. But he said something on Dutch show. He said, very typical about Dutch people is that they go out and they are so much on saving costs that they... spend not enough to really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So if you say, let's spoil ourselves, let's go out for a dinner, then I'm not saying that you have to spend a lot, but sometimes just spending that little bit extra would give it really the feeling of full enjoyment. And the Dutch always sort of, still then, save, so that it's not the whole works. You see what I mean? And I thought it was a pretty sharp observation from.
But why do you think it's that?
Frugality. It's in our culture. Yeah.
There must be a reason.
Well, it's Calvinism, mm-hmm. right? So a big part of the Netherlands is influenced by Calvinism, and that's a rational religion, and it's based on saving and not standing out, not going wild, just control yourself. And also in spending, control yourself, you know, be very frugal, be very careful what you spend. And that has a quality in itself, and that's the one that you described, right? Being aware of what something costs is also being able to save and invest. But there is another side to it, which we see more with people from other countries that are sometimes more able to enjoy. How would it be in Ukraine?
I think we're somewhere in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes we can spend a lot of money. And it's very often that people spend a lot of money during holidays and vacation. Just because we work hard. That's actually the trait I believe we share with Dutch people. You also work hard. You like to work. We also like to work. But for us, is that, you know, you work the whole year and then you have a holiday, and a lot of people are just enjoying it fully. So they spend almost all of their savings. Not everyone, of course, but the general rule is like this.
And that is a difference with the Dutch.
Yes, that's a difference. But at the same time, we both really work hard. We're very hardworking people. And you are also very hardworking.
I'm not even sure if that's true.
Why? Why do you say this?
Well, we sometimes say that there is a saying, how does it go? You don't live to work, you work to live.
Yes.
And what I hear a lot of expats is that they say they love the work-life balance of the Dutch, that we don't make such long hours normally. You haven't noticed yet?
I noticed, but I believe the key thing here is that you work smart.
Instead of hard.
Instead of hard, yes. It's still a part of being hardworking. It's just in a smart way. Maybe you need less hours to achieve the same results.
Looks like you're very positive about Dutch culture.
Mostly, yes.
Well, if you say mostly, there are things that you don't like so much, so let's focus on that as well. What are the things that you are a bit disappointed about, maybe?
I think housing issues. I'm not sure that it's a part of Dutch culture, but for sure that's the part of the current state of the things. Unfortunately, it's not easy to find a place to live. Even if you have, you know, enough money or a good salary, or let's just say, you're open to any opportunities, like you want to live in the city or you're okay to live outside, it's still difficult. It doesn't matter who you are. It's just difficult to find a place to live. Yes.
Still, you managed?
I did, yes. But I think I've been just lucky.
Because you found a really nice place here in Amsterdam. And regarding rental fees, how does that go in the Netherlands?
Yeah, I think also it's pretty expensive. I think that like the housing market currently is in a pretty interesting state. When people can't afford buying, but also it's hard for them to rent a place, to find a place, but also to pay the rent. Especially in the big cities like Amsterdam. I heard it's the same in Rotterdam. But I'm not sure as I live in Amsterdam.
Right. So you spend a lot on housing relatively.
Yes, relatively, yes.
Yes, yes. I hear that a lot. Really? And there's a shortage of availability.
Do you think there is a way out?
Yes, building.
There is a construction work just near.
I saw. Yes, building would be the solution. You know, it's a growing population in the Netherlands, and we can sense that now. And it's the talk of town. We see this on the news, we see this in talk shows, on TV, it's in the newspapers. There are concerns about the amounts of available housing for the amount of people. We have quite some immigrants every year coming in, and there's a shortage of housing. Rental, buying, doesn't matter. And so the prices are going up, also because of utilities. So it is a challenge. It's something we need to solve somehow.
Do you know a lot of immigrants?
Sure.
What do you think of it?
Well, the kind of work I do is that I try to help them as much as I can, feeling at home here and understanding the culture, the way we are talking about this now, understanding a bit more where you are and seeing the differences between what you know and what is new for you living here. And dealing with the differences in a positive way. My impression is that most people who come here and the most people I meet are expats like yourself, have a very positive mindset. They want to make the best out of it. And they want to connect as much as they can with Dutch society. And they have their challenges doing that because of language, because of culture. But most people have a very positive attitude.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, like yourself, you know, very positive. You'd like to be active, as you said, meet new people. How about Dutch lessons?
Yeah, I had some.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you getting further?
Mostly.
Mm-hmm. So we could do this part in Dutch as well?
No, I think it's too early for me.
Okay, but you're learning.
I'm learning, yes. But I also find it difficult to practice. I absolutely appreciate that everyone speaks perfect English, and that's wonderful, especially when you're just, you know, just moved to the country. But at the same time, I also think it's important to protect your own language. Because when I go to a cafe and I am trying to make an order in Dutch, I know that I have accent, you know, but I would like also to receive a response in Dutch. So yeah, I think it's just very nice to help people learning your own language.
So we should save a bit more, be protectful of our language.
Maybe, yes.
Yes. That's an interesting observation. Looks like not every Dutch person is very proud of its language.
Why?
Well, when you come outside of your own country, people respond to your language, right? Because they hear a sound that they don't know. And it happens more than once that people start to imitate the sound of our language. And not always in a positive way. It does happen. Now, we have a very strong pronunciation of the G. And it happened many times, not just for me, but many people recognize this being Dutch, that when foreigners hear that sound, they start to imitate as if you're throwing up. It's because we have like what we call a very throat G, and they say, oh, it sounds like you're vomiting. So that's just assumption of mine. That I think, oh, maybe the Dutch are not always very proud of their language because we switch so easily to English and we are translating anything to English as if English is a better language.
It's not, for sure. English and Dutch are both very nice languages. They're different. But I think you should be proud of your language. You have your own language, right? There are so many countries that do not have their own language.
This is what I like about the observations of people like yourself. You learn by hearing the feedback of people who visit your country.
It's true.
Yeah.
Probably there are some things that you just, you do not recognize by yourself, right?
But exactly.
Then another person says to you, okay.
Yeah. Because we take it for granted.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But really, there are a lot of, for example, English-speaking countries, right? And their language is English, which came from one place. Basically, and they do not have any other languages. And you should be proud because you have your own language. And language is a part of your identity.
That's true. Yeah, and in fact, not many people know, we have not just one language, right? We have so many dialects in the Netherlands, and they can be so strong that to me, it's sometimes hard to understand people of my own country. And like we said, there's only like 18 million. But we have like dialects that are almost like a new language. They're not officially, but they have their own identity, as you say. We can easily identify where people are from, whether they are from the south or the east or the north or the west, by the accent that they use in a country that is only, how big is it? 300 kilometers from south to north, and about 250.
Small one, yeah.
And yet so many dialects, it's amazing.
And you also have a minority language, right? Another one.
You mean Frisian?
Yes.
Yes, that's proper language.
And it's totally different.
It's totally different. And the Frisians will love it when you recognize that they have a different language, that you would acknowledge that. That's a tip. If you ever meet people from Friesland, we call that, then make sure that you mention that you know they have their own language, not a dialect.
Can you understand them?
No.
Okay. That's for sure another language.
I have no clue.
Okay.
No, they have to accept. My brother-in-law is from Friesland. And when he speaks with his family, I have no idea. Yeah. But also I have an uncle who's from the south of the Netherlands, which is only, how much is it? 200 kilometers away from us. I don't understand what he says. He must switch to Dutch to make sure that I understand.
Do you think that you will still have all of these dialects in the future? Or will they all be replaced by the one Dutch language, the classic Dutch?
Wow, that's a deep question. My expectation is that identity to people is getting more important in the future. Because of globalization, we seem to have a need to express our identity. And so we are getting back to what is typical for our community, so to speak, and that is language and dialect that you speak. So coming back to your question, I think that it's going to be like this, or maybe even stronger. It could even be that the amount of English that we use now in everyday life is going to diminish a bit because of this. But that's an assumption, and we'll see in the course of time.
That's very, very interesting assumption. So do you think that the times of globalization are over?
Well, there is a sort of counter movement, it seems, that it brings benefits to be connected to the whole world, but it also has negative sides. Mm-hmm. And the negative aspects are getting a bit more visible now to people. They become more aware. And so there is this natural need to express your own individuality.
Okay.
Never thought that we would end up in such a more philosophical thinking.
Absolutely. Very, very deep.
But it's nice. As I said, it's always very fascinating. And that is why I would say it's such a brave step of yours to actually move to a new country, because that's a way to become aware of things that you were never aware of, right?
Yes.
You probably never thought of these things before.
Never.
Have you? Could you say that you've grown as a person living in Germany first for 2 years and then now in the Netherlands?
For sure, I'm a different person now. I think I had a chance to meet different people with different backgrounds, and it had a very strong influence on my personality. Also, I believe that living abroad opens your eyes, and sometimes in a positive way, sometimes in not such a positive way. You can also compare how you live or your country lives, right? And how other people live in other countries. It's very nice, you know, to be able to have this even privilege, I would call it privilege, right? To travel, to see different societies. And yes, of course, I'm not the same person as I used to be back in Ukraine.
Not just in time, but also because of your experiences.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's something we can see a lot of people who live abroad, that they grow. They grow as a sort of more international person.
Exactly. For me, it's very hard. Of course, I can say I'm Ukrainian, right? Because I grew up there. But in fact, if I'm talking about my identity, probably I would say European.
Yeah.
Europe is different.
So it unifies in a way.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, bringing us back to the situation in your country, I would hope that there's going to be more this kind of, let's say, bond between people on the continent.
I also hope so. As I have this opportunity, I just wanted to say thank you, because you accepted a lot of our refugees and you helped a lot of our people, especially women and kids and old people. These are very vulnerable part of society.
Well, you need to help people in need.
Absolutely. But that says a lot about you. That says that you have a kind heart, kind soul. And although you said that the society is more individualistic, right? Which I can't deny, it's true. But at the same time, you help people when they're in need.
Yes, I guess that's true.
So you're helpful.
Yeah. Well, on behalf of my society, you're more than welcome.
It's nice to hear.
Yes. Is there anything we haven't covered that you wish people to know?
I think it's just important to be brave, not be scared to move another country, and be open-minded. No, do not be afraid to try something new. So that's probably everything that I wanted to say.
Well, and it's a good end of this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you planning to relocate to the Netherlands? Would you like to prepare well, to have a soft landing? Then please visit our website to see how you can benefit from our online programs. Simply have a look at yourmovetothenetherlands.nl. And please remember to follow this podcast channel so you know when there's a new episode for you. Have a great rest of the day and tot ziens!